All right. Hey, let's pray and we'll get into the word. Lord, we love you. We pray that you bless this time in your scriptures. Open up our eyes to see. In Jesus' name, amen. As we're going through the book of Acts, there's been a big deal with circumcision and keeping the law and Gentiles and how somebody saved. Is it by keeping the Mosaic law? Is it by keeping the ceremonial laws? Is it by circumcision? Is it by Jesus plus works? How does it work? And you guys, Christianity was a mess when it first started. But they got it worked out. And the conclusion of it was this, that they were saved by grace through faith in Christ. And one of the sayings that we've been saying for each week, for 3 weeks now, is grace plus zero equals salvation. And that's the message that was going out. And so now Paul has wrapped up his first missionary journey. He's gone to places like Lystra and Derbe and Iconium, and he's done. And they've been traveling around. And after they finish the tour, they get to this place where they bring this letter back to Antioch about salvation. And because they went down to Jerusalem too to hash this out. And the conclusion was you're saved by grace through faith. There was a couple of things that the apostles had told them to do, you know, stay away from things strangled with blood and idolatry and sexual immorality. And so they get back. And now, after they get back, Paul and Barnabas are at this point in Antioch where they're like, you know, I wonder how everybody's doing in all of the churches that we planted. So why don't we head on back and go see, you know, are they still in the faith? Are they growing in the Lord? What's going on after this first missionary journey? Now, back in the day, you guys, you know, before we had texting and stuff, if you lived in Iconium or Derbe, you might as well have been on Mars because they didn't know how people were doing or how things were going. How many here is under 30? Raise your hands. You poor fools. Okay, you got, it's all downhill after this. But you know, one of the things about, you know, us, anybody under 30 is not going to get this. But before the, you know, texting and stuff, communicating and connecting with each other was super hard. I mean, we didn't have, you couldn't just reach out and text, you know, and you guys look at somebody like me, like I grew up with George Washington, you know, washing my clothes in the river and churning my own butter. And it was gnarly. It was crazy back in the day. We didn't have that kind of connection. But what would Paul and Barnabas do today if they wanted to go and see how everybody was doing? What do you think they would do? They would Google them? They'd hop on the Google machine. Yeah, Facebook. They would FaceTime them. They would text them. Hey, how's it going? And you know what? Let me ask you guys something. How do you check up on people? Do you? One of the good ways that we can do it, and thank God for technology, one of the things is you can go through your like contacts of like texts and just start praying for each one of those people. You know, if you're like, man, who can I pray for today? Grab your phone, look at your messages, start at the top, and just start praying for everybody down the list. And that's what they were doing. They're like, man, we want to go see how everybody's doing to see if they're still growing in the Lord. And that's something we need to do, too, is to keep an eye up on people that we love, praying for them, see how they're doing. And then after that, Paul and Barnabas in verse 37, this is chapter 15, we're just recapping. They got in a fight. They got in a blowout. What's interesting is that Paul and Barnabas connected the Jew and Gentiles together, but they couldn't keep it together as friends. Did you guys hear about what happened to them? They got in a fight, a gnarly, drawn-out discussion where it said that Barnabas was determined to take Mark, but Paul was insistent that they didn't. Now, Paul didn't want to take Mark because Mark deserted him. Do you remember that part of scripture where Mark bailed on him in the middle of the mission? And so Paul's like, forget this guy, he's a deserter. And Barnabas is like, let's give him a second chance. Now, how many people in here are like Paul? When someone gives up or they bail or they quit, you're like, forget them, I don't want nothing to do with them. Raise your hand. Oh, really? You guys are forgiving. How many Barnabases we got in here that are encouraging? Oh, we don't even have Barnabas. Who are you? You Paul or Barnabas? You know, and so you can kind of relate to one or the other one. Some of you are like, man, I would encourage him and say, hey, you know, let's keep on going. But what happens when you got two people and one is insistent and the other one is determined? And there's an argument. What happens? A blow up, a blowout. How many married couples do we got? Has your wife ever been insistent and you've been determined? It doesn't go good. And their pride's getting in the way. And neither one of them's willing to yield. And neither one of them's willing to listen. And we don't even want to kind of hear that about these two. But that's the situation that's going on. And, you know, we want to remember, you know, it is to the best of our ability. What's the scripture say? To live at peace with all men. And to lay down that pride. So what happens? They split up. Barnabas goes west. Paul and Silas go up to the north. And now we're going to pick it back up to where they're going on the second journey, where they're going to go back and revisit everybody. Let's start in 16, verse 1. So Paul, it says, then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek, and he was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. And Paul wanted to have him go on with them. And he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews in that region. For they all knew his father was Greek, and they all went through the cities, and they delivered to them the decrees kept, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in numbers. It's kind of interesting that Paul, he goes down back to this area, Lystra, and he finds a disciple named Timothy. Now, Timothy was a young guy, and Paul goes back there, and he's like, I wonder if the church is growing. How are they doing? Timothy shows up on the scene, probably in his 20s, and this guy loves Jesus, is serving Jesus, is sold out for the Lord. And Paul sees him, and he's like, this is the guy that I want on my team. This is the guy that I want help with. And so Timothy ended up becoming really connected with Paul, and Paul connected to Timothy. So much so, Paul became like a spiritual father to him. And Paul wrote two books in the Bible written to him. Do you know what their names were? What's the two books? First and Second. If you're saying John, you're way off, right? It's First and Second Timothy. And so Paul hooks up with Timothy, and it says that his mom was a Jew, and his dad was a Greek. So he had a split parenting growing up. Did any of you guys have that when you were growing up where your mom was a believer and your dad wasn't, or your dad was a believer and your mom wasn't? Did you have any of that? I sort of had that. But it's an interesting situation because his mom grew him up learning the scriptures. And she would tell him all the stories in the Old Testament, and his dad would raise him up and say, oh man, Hercules. And he would tell him the story about Hercules. And then his mom would take him to the side and say, actually, his name's Samson. And, you know, and she would like pour into him of the Lord, and she would get his head straight. But the thing about Timothy is being that his dad was a Greek, he kept to the traditions of the Greeks, which was not to be circumcised. So what's Paul do? He says, hey, Timothy, I want you to go with me. I want you to labor with me. We're going to serve the Lord together. And I can just kind of picture it. You know, he's going to circumcise Timothy. Timothy doesn't know it yet. And like, how does that conversation go? They're eating pizza, right? They're hanging out. And Paul's like, man, Timothy, you know, Jesus is a healer. He loves to heal. He loves to heal the broken. And Timothy's, yeah, amen to that. And Paul's like, well, you know what? I'm going to take this rock and cut off your special no-no place. And then we're going to get busy serving the Lord. And Timothy must have been like, oh, man, and I don't care who you are, because like back in the day, the procedures back then were pretty gnarly. I mean, I don't know. It was like whiskey and a sharp rock and a Band-Aid and a hug, you know, and that was it. And so he's going to like, man, you got to get circumcised. But the problem I had with that is, haven't we been reading for like the last four chapters that Paul was against this? He's bringing letters from the apostles saying, don't even worry about it. Don't bother with it, because it's by grace through faith. And here he grabs Timothy, and actually Timothy's carrying the letter, that it's all by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, and it's nothing that we do. He's carrying the letter, and Paul's like, hey, by the way, we're going to circumcise you. And I was like, man, Paul, are you getting legalistic on us or what? Like, what's the trip? What are you doing? But when it says that his father was a Greek, you know, you got to remember this place, Lystra, is kind of like a small village. And if any of you guys are familiar with Toledo or even Newport, Solette, we're kind of like village people. You know what I mean? We're just a step up above hillbillies around here. And everybody knows everybody's business. If you've been here long enough, you live in a, or you're visiting a town where when we see somebody walking, we know their business, everything about them, who they were married to, when they were married to, and what happened in divorce, and what they're going, who their kids are, who their cousins are. You know, in Toledo, you walk, you see people, you just know. People know each other's business. And Paul knew that if they were to reach the Jews would be sitting in the synagogue and they would be listening to Timothy preach the gospel and they'd be like, you know, his mom's a Jew. And then the other guy would be like, yeah, but his dad's a Greek. You know, that boy ain't circumcised. I mean, all the things you're going to talk about in church. And Paul said, you know, this is going to catch some people up. It's going to offend them. So let's get rid of the offense so we can reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's a word for us. You know, we talked about we have certain liberties in Jesus, right? Whether it's the music we listen to, whether somebody drinks alcohol or not. You know, these are things in Scripture, the way we dress and all of this stuff. We have certain liberties, but we have to be careful with those liberties that we're not doing it in front of people to where it's going to offend them from coming to Christ. And Paul said, listen, let's just get rid of the offense and then we'll get freed up and be able to preach the gospel. And that's what they do. And so this isn't a legalistic thing. This is a caring thing. This is a love thing. And so it says, you know, and Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I become all things to all people, to the Jews to win the Jews and to the Gentiles to win the Gentiles. So, you know, when Paul was around the Jews, he would respect circumcision. When he was around the Gentiles, he would do what the Gentiles would do. But the point of it is reaching a lost world for Christ. And the point is for us is to do that without offending people as well. Now, you're saying, well, Jason, we don't offend people. What about the gospel? That's offensive. We don't bend on that. When it comes to Jesus and we're saved by faith in an only Christ, that no man comes to the Father but through Jesus. We can't come any other way. We don't mess around with that. That's important. That's what we want to tell people is about the love of God and Christ dying for their sins. And so now, Paul, they pick up, they go through Derbe, Lystra, Timothy, Silas in verse 6. And it says, now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Now, what's interesting is, and just really quick, when it says Galatia right there, do you guys know how hardcore Paul was for the gospel and some of the places he would go and preach and teach the word that hadn't been preached and taught before? Galatia, those were the Celtic immigrants that came over and they migrated into that area of Galatia. And you're like, well, so what? Those so what, the Celtic immigrants, the Galatians, the Gauls, were so crazy, they were the only group of people that Rome actually didn't want to mess with. In fact, they were like, and they would tell Rome, you come up here, you're dead. In fact, we're actually thinking about coming down there and annihilating all you guys, which was unheard of because Rome was so strong. Who's going to take Rome out? The Galatians. And it was said of them, they did, this is how they would go about. They put the fear of all their gods into Rome because they would go out to battle. Before they would go out, they would get wasted. They would be drinking mead and, you know, all these ales and Guinnesses and everything. And they would just get thrashed. And then they would take off their clothes. And so you got these drunk Celtic men, Vikings, keep it clean, ladies. and they're out there mad, and they're fighting naked, drunk, killing everything and everybody. And Rome's like, these guys are out of their stinking mind. They're not even wearing panties, and they're out there like killing anything that gets in their way. Drunk as a skunk. And you know what Paul does? He goes, I think that's a good place to go plant a church. Who does that? I think I'm going to, it's like going to Portland. I'm going to go to a place where they're all drunk and naked. I think I'm going to plant a church. And God blessed it. If you're from Portland, my bad. Yes. But God blessed it. And he goes up there into Galatia. And he comes down through Galatia, and it says he wanted to go to Asia, but the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him. In verse 7, and after they had come to Mysia, they tried into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them there either. So passing through Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul at night, and a man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with them, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. So Paul goes into this area of Macedonia after he was forbidden by the Holy Spirit. And it was interesting to me because they want to go to Asia. And by the way, it's Asia Minor. It's not like China or Japan. It's this area, Asia Minor. And Paul does eventually go there, and he sets up the church in Ephesus. But what was interesting is he wants to go do a good thing. He wants to go start a church. He wants to preach the gospel. And the Holy Spirit's like, no. And what I'm reminded about that is, you know, sometimes we can have plans that are good. They're a good thing, but it doesn't mean they're a God thing. And it means that we got to be open to the Holy Spirit's leading. And so there's like this area he wants to go in, and the Holy Spirit's like, I'm going to shut it down. I don't want you going in that area. I don't know if it was financially, health, what it was, but he shut it down. And what we call that is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. When God is speaking to you about a certain thing, and if you're saved, you've gone through this where he says, hey, don't go there. Don't send that text. Don't hang out. That's not Mr. Right. That's not Mrs. Right. You know, listening to the Holy Spirit. And that's the ministry, and that's what God wants to do. He wants to speak to us. He wants to lead us. And sometimes it's that check. I guess it's a check in your spirit. Have you ever had that? You've had a check with somebody, or God had put a check in there. And the best thing to do is always to listen to that. Because when we go against it, it never leads to anything good. You know, God's plan is always the best plan. Amen. And so even though it's a good thing, it's not a God thing. And so I remember, you know, years ago, we had our church in Toledo, little church, smaller than this, way smaller. And but there was a pastor in Toledo that lost his building. And he wanted to rent ours out on Sunday because we had Friday night services next to the bar. And that was a trip. There was a lot of stories to tell about that on Friday night, having church next to the bar. But, you know, he says, hey, Jason, can I use the church on Sunday? And my first thought of it is of course you can use the church on Sunday. I mean, who am I? You think I'm a barbarian? Of course you guys can use a church for on Sunday. And I just gave him the key. He walked over. I just gave him a key. I said, here you go, man. But that night, I went home, and I promise you, I couldn't sleep all night long because the Lord told me, Jason, I don't want that man in your building. I don't want nothing to do with it. And I'm telling you, well, I'm like, and I didn't, and here's the thing about the Holy Spirit leading you. You can't always prove it to somebody. Did you know that? You tell somebody and they're just like, you're out of here. How are you going to prove what God tells you before it happens? And I'm thinking, man, what's the problem? All night long, I promise you, I didn't sleep. And I told the Lord, I said, man, as soon as it's 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm calling him up. And I called the guy up and I said, hey, listen. And this was pretty gnarly to tell another pastor. I said, I don't know what's going on, But the Lord told me last night that if I let you in that building, it's sin for me. Can you imagine that? And I said, I need that key back. Well, anyways, I got a bad reputation around town, needless to say. But it's a good thing that I don't care about what people think. And so 8 months goes by. And I'm just this creepy guy, and I ain't going to let, you know what I mean? It's competition or whatever, and I'm just shutting it down and blah, blah, blah. Well, it turned out his wife, she had MS really bad for a long time, and he was sleeping around on her. And it came out like 8 months later, he left her, divorced her, and married some woman in the congregation. And as soon as that happened, I was like, I knew it. I didn't know it, but I knew it. And it was one of those things where I couldn't pin it. But you know, when you get that check in your Holy Spirit, that's a leading, and you want to listen to that. And Paul's like, man, I don't know what it was or what, but we couldn't go there. But they did go there later, because God will sometimes, listen, he doesn't always lead us through open doors. Sometimes God leads us through doors he shuts. And that's a good thing. If you're pushing and pushing and God's shutting a door and shutting a door and you're getting frustrated and you're getting angry about that, that's a good thing. Praise God for the open doors, but praise him for the ones that close in your face, because God knows. And so at this point, Paul, he's like, I wanted to go, but it didn't happen. So we just went to this area, other area, and they're listening to the leading of the Holy Spirit. So Paul goes into Macedonia. And in verse 11, it says that therefore, now they're going to go down into Philippi. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran straight the course to Samothrace, and the next day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of Macedonia, a colony, and we were staying in that city for some days, and on the Sabbath day, we went out to the city by the river where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down, we spoke to the women who were there, and now a certain woman named Lydia heard us, and she was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira and worshiped God, and the Lord opened her heart to hear the things spoken of by Paul, and when she and her whole household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me faithful in the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. So it says that when Paul goes down in Macedonia, they go down to this one area to pray. It's this river. Do you got a picture of the river up there? That's the river. That's the river where Paul went down and Lydia went down to pray. This is where they would customarily go. Because, you know, the husbands were off golfing and the wives were down there praying. And there's no men there who are serving the Lord. You know, to put in a synagogue, there needed to be 10 Jewish men who served the Lord. But in this area, there's nobody. And so it says there's a certain woman that Paul goes down there and he's talking to and he kind of connects with. And it says a certain woman by the name of Lydia. And whenever you see the word certain person and they name that person's of high importance. And Lydia, it says she was a seller of purple fabric. And we're like, oh, well, that's great. Good for her. I mean, purple didn't sell that good here anymore. Anyway, I mean, like, what kind of trade is that? Like, who cares? I buy purple all day long at Walmart. And, you know, she was a big seller of it. So what? But you got to understand something with this trade she was in. I mean, have you guys heard of Gucci and Guess and Louis Vuitton? She was like the owner of all of those before they ever came about. This girl, what she had in clothing was so rich because the purple dye that they used, the way they got the purple dye to make these garments was they would take a snail and there was a vein that ran through the snail and they would like milk it. Is that crazy? And it would take 200,000 snails to make an ounce of dye. How many of you want that job? Sign me up, right? 200,000 snails to get this purple dye that was coming from these snails. And so, you know, when we read in the scriptures that purple was identified with what? Royalty. So she's only selling to like the emperors, the kings, the queens, you know, J-Lo. These people are like big time. And so she had a huge industry, a lot of money. This woman had great wealth from the people that she sold to. And it says that she was there and that the Lord had opened her heart. And she heard the gospel, you guys, and her whole household got saved. Now, that doesn't mean that her faith was enough that saved everybody. But what it was is that her faith in Christ, after she heard the gospel, she went back and took that message to her home. And she told everybody, and Paul's telling everybody. And they're like, let's just get baptized. Let's go for it. Let's do it. Let's make this thing official. And what's cool about that is some of us have some hard family members. And I want you to know that if God got a hold of you and your family, and it was on his heart to get you, you can rest assured it's on his heart to get everybody else in your family saved. And I think at some point, though, God wants to use us to like be that connection point. And Lydia was that lady. And so she goes, and Paul goes with her to the house. They get saved. They get baptized. Now in verse 16, we all know that, and we're going to try to pile through this part, but we all know that anytime God's doing something, that Satan wants to come and mess it all up. So now it happened in verse 16, as we went to prayer, a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought their masters much profit and fortune-telling, and the girls followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are of the servants of the Most High God, who proclaimed to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul got greatly annoyed and turned to the Spirit and said, "Shut the heck up. I can't stand this anymore. I'm finished. And I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out of her that very hour. But her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, and they seized Paul and Silas, and they drug them off into the marketplace. And so there's this girl they run into, this fortune teller, and you know, she's given a right message. I mean, she's telling them, hey, listen to these guys. They're telling you the way to salvation. But it's like in a creepy voice, I think. I think this girl, you know, when I picture this girl, she's kind of clingy, and not in a good way. I mean, you know, everywhere they go, there's this girl. And, you know, Paul goes into Walmart and she jumps out behind the ashtray. You know, they hop in the car and she's in the rearview mirror. They're just, this girl, she's in the bush next to Starbucks. And Paul's like, man, this is getting crazy. And every time she jumps out, she's like, listen to these guys. They're going to tell you how it is to get saved. I think she sounds like a witch, like a big wart on her nose and hocus pocus. But she was bound up, and she was making a lot of money telling fortunes for people. And by the way, you know, fortune tellers, I just kind of always write them off as kooks, you know, because I don't know. I'm just super critical and just think it's a sham. They're always so vague. I see somebody, you know, a woman that, you know, you knew and, you know, she was older and just, it's like, yeah. And she wore shoes and she ate food. I mean, it's all like generalities. But you know, sometimes I think from what we can see here that maybe some of them are actually legit. But that ain't the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a demonic power. And this girl's walking around. Paul has enough. And I was wondering, Paul, why didn't you just kick that demon out immediately? And I'm wondering, like, would you? Or would you be trying to figure things out? Because I'm going to tell you something. When it comes to possession, and I've only seen it, I believe I saw it one time. And it was in a kid. And we were doing a youth group. And everybody on this side of the church remembers this. this kid started growling and hissing and attacking our drum player. And like this voice, like cats coming out of him. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, man, I can't lay my hands on this kid. Like this, I'm in a weird spot. What are you going to do? You going to lay your hands on somebody's kid? Or, I mean, is he possessed? Or is this kid just, you know, he didn't have breakfast this morning? I don't know. Like, I'm just a weird spot. But man, as that went on, we got him out the church and we called his mom. We're like, you better come and get Damon. Like, that's what we're, this boy is crazy. Like, I don't know what's going on, but you need to come and get him. But I'm going to tell you guys what, and we remember it. It was scary. This kid was like, what, 10? And he had me scared to death. Like, I'm like, I don't know what to do. And I wonder if Paul, like, you know, it went on for many days. And then finally Paul got to that point. He's like, in the name of Jesus, I can. I wonder if Paul was like, what is this, Lord? Like, do I got to make a move here? Like, I didn't sign up for this. I don't need this drama in my life. Is this real or what? And the Lord gave him wisdom and the power to cast her out. And I think that's the same thing. If it ever comes to you and you're in that situation, if it ever comes to me, we need to take prayer. And we need to seek God's face on what to do in that matter, because it's a gnarly one. You know, you got guys driving around town in creepy vans that, you know, they write Demon Hunter on the side of it. You know, Demon Hunter for hire, $25 an hour, and I'll cast them out. Paul's like, I ain't looking for that kind of trouble. I don't want that kind of trouble. And so they cast this woman out. And all these guys hear is, you know, cha-ching, 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 gone out the window, because now they're not going to make any money off of this girl. They cared more about making the money than they did this woman. And this is where we're going to close out. So now they get thrown in prison over this area, over this issue. And they brought them to the magistrates, Paul and his guys. And the men, these men, being Jew, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us Romans to observe and to receive. And that's true, because they were teaching that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Redeemer. He's the Forgiver. He's the Messiah. And these guys are like, whoa, la, 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 la. We're not hearing none of that. That doesn't make no sense to us. We don't get it. And so then in verse 22, the multitude rose together against them, and the magistrates, they tore their clothes, commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. Do we got the picture of Paul's prison up there? Do you guys see that? So that's where Paul was hanging out. You got rats, and it's all cold and funky and nasty in there. And he's in there, and it says they put his feet in stocks. Now, what that was, just really quick, a little history. They would put him in these leather stocks in their feet around their ankles, and it was tied to a rope. And you had some other guy over here, and he would, like, hoist them up by their feet to where they were almost totally off the ground. And then they would beat them from the feet all the way down. So Paul was not only getting, like, beat on his back. They're like, hey, let's start beating the bottom of your feet too. And then they just start beating every part of Paul and Silas as they're in prison, and they're getting beat up. And so now Paul, as they're thrown in jail, it says that in verse 25, but at midnight, did you guys ever hear that saying, God may never come when you want him to, but he's always right on time? But at midnight. So this has been going on and on and on, and it's at midnight, and Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loose, and the keeper of the prison awakened from his sleep, seeing the prison doors, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do not harm yourself, for we're all here. That's crazy. What happens when San Quentin breaks down and the doors open up? You think those guys are going to sit there? They're out. They're like, praise God, this is a miracle. I'm out of San Quentin. And they're going to head down the street. But what we see about this is it's so interesting when Paul and Silas are there and they're in prison, it said that, and they're getting beat. It says that they're praying and they're singing hymns to God and that they're still there. Worship team, come on up. There's so much more. I don't want to keep you guys forever because then you're going to start getting mad at me and you're not going to listen. But here's the point. They're in jail. They're beaten. They got rats. It's cold. They're hanging upside down. And it says they're doing what? They're complaining. Oh, Lord, if you loved us, we wouldn't be here. If you really cared, we wouldn't be in this situation. You would have came through by now. But we're still here locked up. And they didn't say any of that. It said they were singing praises to God. So it was like they're sitting there bleeding and they're just like singing, blessed be the name of the Lord. And then you get this earthquake and it rattles the place and the doors open up and they're free to go. And what was interesting about it is the jailer's ready to kill himself and the doors are open. And Paul and Silas are looking at their way out, and they're like, forget that. Let's hit that chorus one more time. Blessed be your name. And they're singing again. And the jailer's like, are you guys cuckoo? Like, what is the matter with you guys? You're here. Because that guy was going to die. That kind of thing happens in prison, doors open. Everybody would run. Everybody would run. But there's Paul and Silas. And they're worshiping the Lord. You know, and as we close this out this morning, I want to encourage you guys to finish reading the rest of Acts 16. I wish I could have finished it, but we'll get it next week. But I was thinking about what do we do when the world beats us up? When we're getting thrashed? When our kids are going off the rails? When we're getting cussed at work, when we're getting treated poorly, when we're getting cut off in traffic, you know, when we're dealing with issues in our families, how do we handle it? Is that the time to give up? Paul could have done it. That would have been the time. Man, that would have been the time. You are beaten, black and blue, literally from your head to the bottom of your feet. And he's like, I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to trust in the Lord. And as we leave this morning, you guys, I want you to remember this. When there's that warfare, we worship. Lord, we just love you and we thank you for your faithfulness. We know how this story ends. That was a big setup for a great miracle, Lord. And Father, I just want to pray for everybody here today that's maybe locked up in their own prison of depression or discouragement. Maybe they're worried about the next 5 years. Living in confusion, doubt. Needing help, Father. Lord, I pray that you meet every need in here today. God, that you strengthen your church, that you fill the body of your believers with your spirit, God, of peace and joy, Lord, and to know even when there's warfare, we can worship. Because you're faithful, you're true, and we thank you for that. We thank you for your faithfulness, not only in the warfare, God, but on the cross when you gave your life for us. Your faithfulness there, Lord. And as the word says, even though we've been faithless, you've been faithful, for you cannot deny yourself. And God, so many of us have been faithless. Different times of our life, different seasons, God. But you're always faithful. Father, we also pray for our families that, you know, we have brothers and sisters and, you know, parents maybe that it's easy to just give up on. It's like, gosh, they're never going to hear. They're never going to listen. They're never going to change. Nothing's ever going to be different. It's always going to be like this. Lord, what an encouraging word to just keep praying, to keep lifting them up. That if we were on your heart, they are too. We pray for them today, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name.